Hi, it's Sherry. This is a piece on business ethics. I'm taking a course right now on business ethics in the master's program. And, you know, morals and ethics are a pretty gray area. The United States and international business is governed by laws. And we as individuals act morally and ethically and make ethical decisions based upon a set of values. You know, like corporations have policies not just to abide by the laws in terms of waste management and dumping and pollution, but they also make additional contributions towards society and the development thereof. And the protection of the environment as well. Some things aren't necessarily illegal, but in fact are bad for society. And we make those business decisions based upon either individual ethics and morals or corporate designed ethics and morals that are put together that drive a corporation or the set values by which they govern. It's called a corporate governance. And it's usually involves a compliance department. And most of the matters are matters of internal business processes of employees and how they work together. So there's one major law that covers it, which is the Whistleblower Act. And in the Whistleblower Act is basically if you're going to contact law enforcement or report a company or corporation for bad business practices, either law breaking, fraud, waste, or abuse. And those are usually ethics and morally based issues. Obviously, should be handled internally with a corporate compliance department. Other issues of morals and ethics are financial issues of profitability. And really, ones that come to mind are like taking advantage of the small guy and price gouging or illegal dumping and polluting the environment and not being socially responsible for green initiatives and contributing to that. Or other situations where corporate fraud takes place and the companies are just bad and they're fraudulently doing business. There were a string of companies that I worked for in selling ATM products, financial products to companies, and they never really could tell the employees and the salespeople how those products were going to be fulfilled, if they're going to be sent out, and the salesperson never really could follow up. The sales department was totally separate from all other operations of the business, and so it wasn't really a real business. It was fraudulent. And what they were doing was just taking the money and running with it and not really ever delivering anything. And the same thing, little shops happened with Google advertising services. Little sales shops calling around to businesses and actually selling to businesses advertising services, but never really saying how and when those services would be fulfilled. Salespeople could just make the promise that it would happen, but they'd move on to their next sale and they never really see that actual order was fulfilled. So, and if you poke around too much and ask too many questions, you're usually fired. And that's retaliation. And there is a Whistleblower Act against that. And a whistleblower hotline for those kind of fraudulent companies. So that's fraud. Waste, obviously, is a different factor. You know, if you see bad business processes within your corporation or your company where money is being wasted, things are just could be more efficient. And if you take those matters to your supervisors or your management team and they don't listen to you and they continue doing business that way, then in some states, they're also guilty of possibly waste or fraud, depending upon the type of agency. Some are reserved, some laws are reserved for government agencies. But if you are retaliated against for bringing to light those issues, those matters are covered under the Whistleblower Act, meaning that your employer cannot fire you or retaliate against you if you bring a matter of morals and ethics or fraud or anything criminal to the management team or the your supervisor or the corporation's attention internally or externally. Obviously, there's ethics and moral boundaries and how to handle those issues. You're not going to run to the press with the company that you work for and then expect to go to the office the next day and things to be business as usual. There's always going to be a consequence. But it's not supposed to be a negative consequence. And this is where business ethics plays a very large role in having set processes to manage those issues. Many are bound by laws, you know, employee discrimination laws, sexual harassment laws, and other types of laws that govern financials and securities and markets. And then even other laws covering international business, the Federal Corruption Act, what is it, Federal Practices Corruption Act, it covers bribery over international business. So bribery is another one that those are ethical matters that cannot be going on within the business, within corporations and government agencies. So, but the really interesting part is the morals and ethics. There's no set code, right? Some agencies can and choose to publish a code of ethics for their organization. And it's these code of ethics and these policies are only valuable if it's consistently followed throughout the organization, and that training is regularly available, and that there are values that are instilled regularly and reminded, your employees reminded on a regular basis, the business code of ethics, the policies that are based on laws, and the values that the company wants all employees to adhere to. Now, every industry has different regulatory requirements that partly govern all these code of ethics. You have the company and the corporation, which is an entity. And then you have an individual who has their own set moral code of morals and ethics. And those vary, right? Those vary. And it's not always culturally dependent. It depends, you know, and a lot of these morals and ethics questions are unknown until a person is faced with an issue. It's easy to go, okay, don't steal from your employer. You know that's against the law. Stealing client information and misusing it or selling it to the competitor, you know that's against the law. Selling it to the competitor, you might not know that right out the gate. You might not know that some of those trade secrets are proprietary and they have to be protected. And it's a crime if you share that information. Or when you don't maintain confidentiality when you handle customers' personal information or private information. Say you collect credit card information and you choose to misuse it. You know that's a crime. You know that's a crime. But some of the crimes are not always obvious, and they're not things we grew up knowing. Like, we know stealing is wrong. We know trespassing is wrong. We know that going against any posted laws or crossing over personal boundaries in sexual relations at the office and even outside of the office. Some of those are wrong, but those are gray areas that many people often push the limits to try to figure out what's acceptable. And kids do that growing up, learning. They push the limits to see what they can get away with until they're told that it's wrong. And that's how they learn right from wrong. And so ethics and morals on an individual level, since they vary from person to person, like the standard example of the cashier gives you $20 back extra, it's an overage, you walk out of the store knowing that it's extra and that it does not belong to you, but you leave with it anyways and you don't give it back. That's a matter of morals and ethics. That person's cash register is going to be $20 short and you just walked away with 20 bucks. It's an ethical dilemma. And that's a pretty standard one. And not everyone will turn around and go back and give them the money. Some think it's their lucky day and they deserve it. And so the difference in thinking creates different levels of morals and ethics. So that's why companies have to clearly state their policies for morals and ethics, to create a code of ethics with policies beyond just what the law says, but applicable to the corporation and its employees in the behavior at work and even outside of work. And another step beyond that is something called corporate social responsibility. And it's the responsibility to society that the corporation serves as a member of society, either a very large organization with responsible for a large percentage of America's economy or the world economy, global economy, but it's also its impact to society and the behavior of its employees, the products it produces, and the effects on people and the environment. So if you have a great company that's doing wonderful things for the environment, but they are morally and ethically wrong in how they do that, it's a trade-off. They're doing great things externally for society, but their employees are just completely suffering because of bad morals and ethics. One, eventually, it'll cause failure. But so you, what is ideal, obviously, to have a set high moral and ethical policies and practices for internal operations, as well as the products and the outputs and how it affects society as a whole. So very interesting. I read a piece in the New York Times from an economist, Friedman, from back in the 70s. The way he looked at it, he pointed out something really important, which was the fact that corporates are just corporate entities. They're made up of people, and people are individuals. And executives and managers often work towards whatever the owner or the stakeholders or shareholders of the company want. And employees do what the managers want, and managers do what the executives want. And it's not usually based on a set standard of code of ethics and policies. It's usually managerial considerations, what's good for the profitability of the company. And so adding that additional social responsibility component to the people and societies is really taking it a next step, next level, and beyond just the profit, the bottom line. So, you know, it's not just all about, well, we make more money if we offshore this job over to China, where they let teenagers do the work at 25% of the cost of doing business in the United States of America. That presents an ethical and moral dilemma for the United States executive, because while that is considered illegal here, it's legal there. So we can get out of the legal requirement, but there's still that ethical and moral dilemma. Now, if you toured the facility and you see everything's operational, it looks great, and the young people are actually thriving and are actually part of the regular economy over in China, and operations are good, then there's no issue. But if you go over there and you see that these kids are working their fingers to the bone, they're no longer educated, being educated, or they have to work three times as hard. You could either make the decision at the 50,000 foot view executive level, at the profitability of the profit margin and the cost savings of doing business overseas, or you can look at it from the ethical and moral perspective of it. What if those were your children? How are you benefiting China? How does that benefit the United States? And what are you doing to be socially responsible for the impact you're making over there with the products that you're selling across the world, or that you're employing them to do? And how are you affecting them personally and professionally? If it's a good outcome, then it's not a moral or ethical problem. If it's not against the law, it doesn't mean that you don't consider moral and ethical, the moral and ethical, parts of those decisions. You know, can you go to sleep at night? Do you just ignore the problem? I mean, many people can dump toxins in another land and sleep fine, knowing that they save their companies millions of dollars. And they're okay with destroying societies of third world countries and their ability to breathe healthy and have a thriving economy. That's morally wrong. That's morally wrong. Some people are okay with working and operating head shops where they sell glass pipes to do heroin or to smoke controlled substances. And that's okay with them because that's a job for them. And they're okay with that because they morally and ethically decided for themselves that for them, it's not an issue. They're not actually giving them drugs. So it's not, they somehow rationalize their way through that dilemma. So at least getting people to think about those things is the first step. But leading to greater change in morals and ethics and being the leader comes down to the social responsibility aspect, and not just going to work 8 hours a day and sitting at your computer and saying, I earned X number of dollars per hour, and here's my 40 hour a week paycheck, and here's what I did for the company. But it's more, what did you do for society? And was it ethical or unethical? And is your company doing a service and a good thing? And if not, are they contributing some other way to balance out what the problems that they've caused or that they caused in delivering a product or service? So that's morals and ethics. Pretty cool. I like the legal analysis aspects to look at the Federal Corruption Practices Act, and then to look at the penalties on that are pretty steep, the court process on that. And then the Whistleblower Act, too, for complaints. And what I found there is being ahead of the game of the complaint in the whistleblowing situations. And using training and awareness is really getting ahead of it. Not just, you know, promoting and supporting whistleblowing and offering a complaint resolution process, but really getting ahead of it in prevention. You know, how do you protect your employees? Not just protection, but how do you keep these issues from completely destroying your operations, your employment environment, you know, before it gets to a point of complaint. You know, the Navy tried a red light, yellow light, green light, keywording, stop code when people have crossed the boundaries of unwanted communications, usually of sexual nature. Yellow light, your border or political matters. Yellow light, you're bordering on a topic that I do not want to discuss any further. And if you continue, we're going to hit a red light. And if you go past the red light, then you'll be cited. You'll be written up. And people push those boundaries. They push those boundaries. And still often, although it was a training program, it was a step in the right direction. It's still very uncomfortable, because those people already know that those conversations are not welcome. They know they're not appropriate for the work environment. They know they're pushing the envelope, and they know that it makes other people uncomfortable, yet they choose to do it anyways. So that's the larger issue. Why the defiance? Why aren't people following a respectable communications policy? Because there was no policy. It was just a response to an unwanted a situation where there are several complaints were brought forward of unwanted communications. Rather than coming up with a positive communication policy, a policy and a training program as to what's considered acceptable and what's not acceptable, and how to communicate effectively your position, your goals, what you're hoping to achieve, rather than some weird keyword stop code that really didn't even work. So having a program and compliance is good, but also getting ahead of it with training on the real issues, the larger issues that affect multiple areas, is probably going to be more valuable than investing in a complaint resolution process or lawyers for a whistleblower case. Okay, that's all for me today. Bye.